Father, thank you for your love and your blessings, Lord, that we don't have to go it alone, that as we deal with the culture, as we deal with the world, that we do so through and in the power of your Spirit who lives in us. Thank you, Lord, that we have that assurance, that seal upon our lives that you have placed there, that we might know that you care and you will sustain us through whatever may come. Father, we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds today as we open your word, that you would guide us by your Spirit to not only be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word as well. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here today. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Dealing with Babylon. Now, what are we talking about? Well, obviously, we're talking about the way of the world is another vernacular for that. Sometimes people talk about, well, the current culture. Well, the current culture is probably the same current culture we've had since the fall, and that is influenced and guided and directed by the prince of the air, Satan himself. We are in the midst every day of a spiritual battle. We don't have vision into the spiritual world, but nonetheless a battle is occurring. In my life groups class, we just finished the book of Daniel. Daniel was praying, and Gabriel came to Daniel and gave him an answer to his prayer. Gabriel told Daniel, he said, "When you first started praying, I was dispatched with your answer, but I was detained 21 days by the prince of Persia." Now, who is the prince of Persia? It's a demon. So, we are at spiritual war every day. And let me encourage you that November the 6th will be a big day, spiritually speaking. Not just election-wise, but spiritually speaking as well. We are the salt, or we're supposed to be, the salt and the light. And we are called to savor, to salt, to lighten our culture. And we need to do that. We also have a responsibility as citizens of this nation to go and vote. So please, whether it's storming Tuesday or not, go vote. If you need help, call somebody and we'll make sure you can get to a polling place. But if you are a Christian, you need to be making sure that you vote. I'm not telling you how to vote, but I'm telling you that you should do that. Christians need to be heard. We have an obligation. We are people of the kingdom of God, but we're also citizens of this nation. And while we are here, we're supposed to be salt and light, right? So make sure you go and do that and encourage others to do that as well. Okay, let's look at a scripture here in Revelation chapter 18. Verses 2 through 5, the key verse there is verse 4 and 5, but I'm going to start actually in verse 2, if my pages don't stick together. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 1. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.' And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.'" The key verse there is 4 and 5. "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." Sometimes I'm afraid we think as human beings, as people, that God forgets things. That the sun came up yesterday, the sun came up today, it's going to come up tomorrow, just like it did today. Well, no, it's not. Not for everybody, is it? And it may not come up for anybody. tomorrow. There's no guarantee. I know at 1:56 a.m. this morning, we got toned out for a house fire. These people went to bed and had all their belongings and everything else. And by the time the sun came up, they had no house and no belongings. Thankfully, all of them were out of the house. But they lost everything. So in the blink of an eye, things can happen. So we always, Scripture says, we always need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have that is in us, and that hope is in Christ. We need to be the salt and the light. And we need to know that while we are in the world, we should not be of the world. We have to live in it. You don't have any option, right? But we are to be citizens of the kingdom of God on temporary assignment, if you will, here in this world. And we are to occupy till he comes. Let's keep going. Romans 12:2. Now, this is a verse of scripture you guys have heard me quote many, many times. But this, I wanted to give you a slightly different look at the verse. This is from the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Notice that. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Scripture says that the way of the world is the broad way, is the highway, and it leads to destruction. That the path to salvation is narrow and winding, and it goes on to say, few there will be that find it. So we need to understand, if you're traveling along the highway of life and you got lots of company, you need to check up, where are you at? You're on the wrong highway. The wrong highway. Let's keep going. So Babylon. Yes, Babylon existed as an ancient kingdom. We meet Babylon when God had warned the southern kingdom of Israel, Jerusalem, to turn around, to repent and to follow him, and time after time they failed to do so. And God warned them that judgment was coming. And then guess what? It did. In the person of the Babylonian Empire under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Daniel and his friends and probably 1,000 plus other teenagers were taken into captivity into Babylon, where they stayed for their whole lives. 70 years before anybody was allowed to rebuild Jerusalem. So it's been stated that Babylon is a counterfeit church whose mission is to attack with seduction, to destroy the purity of the saints. In fact, some scholars consider the prostitute Babylon to be a direct antithesis to the bride of Christ, the church. That's why I said earlier, the Babylon mentioned here in Scripture is a false church. A false religion, basically the religion of Satan. Satan likes to pretend to be God. And Babylon here is the false church. The false church, the way of the world, worshiping the way of the world. Now, we don't have idols today much, do we? We don't have little golden calves on our mantle or anything like that. We're more sophisticated than that. But we still have idols in our day and time. Believe me, we do. Power, prestige, pleasure, the list goes on and on. You may not have a little fat Buddha sitting up on the mantle, but you can have an idol. So this is what we're talking about when we say Babylon. So let's go ahead. First of all, we need to understand, you know, God, what are you calling me to do as a Christian? Or if you're here today and you don't know if you're saved, you don't know if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't know what you need to do. Well, the first thing any of us need to do is make sure we establish relationship. You see, God created you and me for a relationship with Him. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Scripture says He walked with them how often? Daily. He put them there for a relationship. He created you for a relationship with Him. Now you might say, I really wish I knew what my purpose in life is. That's your first purpose. Now, a lot of people are not going to fulfill that purpose, but that is your first purpose in life, to establish a relationship with the God of the universe. But there is a problem. Sin has created a problem. Scripture tells us that sin kills, that sin separates, and our sin has separated us from a relationship with God, because you see, God is holy. God is just. Now, God is love. Yes, He is. But He is also holy and just, and sin will not come into the presence of God, so we can't go into His presence. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that the temple had a section called the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. And the high priest could only go in there under certain conditions at certain times. And if you were a regular John Q. Public Jew, you couldn't go in there ever. The high priest was the only one that could go in there, and then only under certain conditions. Well, we have access, now listen to this, we have access to the throne room of heaven. We can go into the presence of God, not because we deserve it, not because of how good we are, but because Jesus Christ has come and has paid the penalty that we owe. Because what's the wages of sin? Death. Scripture says those who sin will die. Jesus said, I'm come to die in their place. He says, I've come in John 10:10 that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the way you establish a relationship is to understand what Scripture says in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now notice the little article there, the. He does not say, I am one of. Satan will tell you, well, don't worry, you're okay. As long as you're sincere in whatever you believe, you're all right. That's a deceit. That's a lie of Satan. It does matter. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is exclusive. There is no other path. There is no back door. There is no loophole to get into heaven. If you want to have eternal life with God, there's only one path, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God and our Savior. How do you establish a relationship with Him? You admit to God, I've messed up. I'm a sinner. I can't get back. I am wholly undone. Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins and save me? And that's all it takes. His righteousness is imputed then to you. We use the phrase, we're clothed in the blood of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ has covered our sins. You may remember just prior to the Exodus, when the plagues were going through Egypt, the last plague was the death angel. And the angel would kill the firstborn of man and beast, except for those houses that were covered by what? The blood of the Lamb. Now you might say, that's a big coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. It was prophetical before the Lamb was actually slain. So we establish a relationship by establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the only way we're going to get to heaven. That's the only way we're going to become a child of the King. You realize that God only has adopted children, right? The only way we're going to be a child of the King is to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means to call with all that we are. Our whole heart. Lay it all out. Because Scripture also says there's a difference in knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. Satan knows about Jesus. Demons know about Jesus. The Pharisees knew about Jesus. And most everybody you encounter today know, at least they think they do, know about Jesus. But unfortunately, far too few actually know Jesus. Because when you know Him, He's in your life and He changes your life. Remember, we talked about Romans 12:2, where He makes a new creature. We think different. We act different. We speak different. Not because we're good, but because of what He is doing and has done in us. This relationship is the foundation. You cannot build on anything else. Because if you do, it's going to come down around your ears. Remember the houses built on the sand and the house built on the rock? notice that in both cases in that scripture passage, the storms came against both houses. So you're going to have storms in your life. You know that already. And you're going to have more. And they're going to be bigger. And they're going to be badder. But if your house is grounded on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ, then it will withstand the storms. And if you don't have it built on Jesus Christ, then you will not withstand the storms. And nothing else I'm going to say today is going to matter if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make sure that you take care of that before you leave this building today. Secondly, not only do we need to establish a relationship with Jesus, but we got to maintain a walk. We got to maintain a walk. You know, sometimes we slip and we backslide. That's a term we like to use in Baptist church, that we backslide and we forget where we come from. And it doesn't happen all at one time. It sort of happens a little bit at a time. We get out of reading our Bibles. We get out of spending time with God in prayer. We get out of coming to church with other Christians. And before you know it, we're like way over here somewhere, and we wonder, how in the world did I get over there? You got there one step at a time by stepping away. And you ever noticed that Satan makes it harder on you when you miss church? You miss church, and then you're like, oh, I've missed 2 weeks. Man, I'm going to be embarrassed if I go back. That's Satan. Because God's wanting you back. God's wanting you back. Expect trials. Expect tribulations. And expect temptations. Jesus was tempted. Why we think we're not going to be? Every day, probably. Trials and temptations and tribulations. Turn on the television. There's plenty of them to watch. Daniel, as a teenager, uprooted from his home and plunged into Babylon, the heart of the world at that time. And they were going to make a good Babylonian out of him. It said they had the delicacies of the king's table. Now, Daniel was a teenager in Jerusalem, raised to fear God, thankfully. He probably saw some stuff in Babylon he'd never seen before. And how easy it would have been for him to fall in step with Babylon, not make any waves, and be a good little Babylonian. But Scripture says, and I love this about in Daniel, Scripture says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the delicacies of the king's table. That's a teenager. Decided ahead of time, I'm not going to pollute my life with the things of the world. That's the modern vernacular. I'm not going to pollute myself with the things of the world. And he held true. And because he did, God blessed Daniel. And Daniel served God through the kingdom of Babylon when it was taken over by Medo-Persia, and through kings all the way to Cyrus in the Medo-Persian Empire. Because Daniel continued to maintain his walk. Scripture tells us to walk circumspectly. Now, we don't use that term very much. You don't go up to say somebody, say, how you doing? How about, you know, walk circumspectly. We don't say that today. What does that mean? It means walk carefully. Walk carefully. Take care how you live your life. It does matter. It does matter. Teenagers, listen to me a second. Children are looking at you. I promise you, kids are looking at you. And what you say and what you do is the authority. I remember, now Diane was a good kid. She never gave us any serious trouble at all. But I remember Diane coming to me one day and telling me something that a teenager at church, Heather was her name, had told her. And she was like, did you know that? And I'm just like dumbfounded. I've been telling you that for a year. But it came from the teenager, so that was gospel. It matters what you do. It matters what you say. People are watching you. They're watching you. Walk carefully. You don't want to be where you're ashamed of what you've said and what you've done. You don't want to be there. and have to explain to a kid, well, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Don't do what I do. Okay? And this scripture says to not be just hearers. Now, we're good sometimes at being hearers. Teenagers, sometimes you get blamed with being hearers but not listeners. Okay? Husbands, we get blamed with that sometimes too, don't we? That we hear but we don't listen. Scripture says, don't be just hearers. Don't let God's word fall on empty ears. We need to, what does it mean to hear? We need to take it inside. We need to understand what God is saying to us. And that means we got to spend time in His word. Don't be just hearers, but be doers of the word. We need to not sit on our blessed assurance. We need to get up and do, right? And you'll have an opportunity Tuesday to do. And then scripture says, everyone who calls Him Lord, now listen to me, everyone who calls Him Lord will not be saved. What? That's what it says. He said, there's going to be a bunch of people that says, Lord, Lord, don't you remember me? I was a member of this church. I did this, I did that. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Remember that first I talked about relationship? You got to have a relationship, because if you don't, He doesn't know you. Maintaining the walk means we're doing the work. Now, don't get me wrong. We are not saved by our works under any fashion. You are not saved by your works. But James warns us in his epistle that if you are saved, there will be works. Because where do the works come from? The Spirit of God. And if God's Spirit is working in your life, He will produce works. Unless you die immediately after you receive Christ, you're going to have some works in your life. If you are the same person after you receive Jesus as you were before you were saved, then you were not saved. Because Jesus will do a work in your life and He will make a new creature out of you. So everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, is not mine, but those who do the work of the Father. Thirdly, engage the culture. Engage the culture. Daniel and his friends engaged the culture. We are called to be salt and light. What's salt do if it gets in a wound? That's right. Culture is not going to like you. The culture is not going to like. They're going to tell you to sit down and be quiet. Am I wrong? They're going to tell you to sit down and be quiet. If you mention Jesus, they're going to say, sit down and be quiet. Don't sit down and don't be quiet. Don't sit down and don't be quiet. I'm not saying being violent or ugly, but I'm saying don't sit down, don't be quiet. Speak the name of Jesus and live the name of Jesus. Be the salt and be the light. Savor. We need to savor the culture. We need to make it salty. We need to reflect His light. Now, we need to do that in love. Speak the truth in love. You're not going to go beat Jesus into somebody with a hammer. Okay? There may be some people you want to do that, but you don't need to do that. You need to speak the truth and speak it in love, but speak the truth. Speak the truth. People need to understand that when you take a stand against immorality, you don't hate them. You hate the sin. People need to understand that God does not hate people. He hates sin. Jesus died because of our sin. God hates sin. Any sin. We need to speak that truth and speak it in love. Then we need to be like Daniel. We need to bloom where God plants us. Don't be like I was talking about a few weeks ago about this person that says, well, when I get here and I get there and I get this and I get that, I'm going to do this for God. Don't wait. Do it now. Where God has put you, bloom. Grow and serve God right then and right there. Now, He may move you later on somewhere else. But remember, we talked about being faithful over the few, being faithful over the small things. God wants to see you faithful over that before He's going to give you something bigger to be faithful in. Bloom where you're planted. Work in the culture, but do not be part of Babylon. Daniel served the king of Babylon. Daniel worked in the court of the king, but he was not part of Babylon. He never became a quote-unquote good Babylonian. He never renounced his faith in God. He served God. Even in the Medo-Persian Empire, when he knew what was going to happen, Scripture says he had his windows open and he prayed to God like his custom was, and he got thrown in the lion's den because of it. And what happened after that? He used the lions for a pillow that night. Walk in the culture. We got to walk in the culture. We got to work. We got to live here. But we don't got to be part of the culture, right? We need to have we need to be different. Called out from. Scripture says to get out of Babylon. Don't be part of Babylon because Babylon's going to burn. Get out. Get out. My dad had a cousin. Dad served in the Navy during the Korean War, and his cousin served in the Marine Corps. And this was after all that, and they were talking one day, and I forget his cousin's name now, but anyway, he was assigned to Fleet Marines. Now, what does that mean? That means he's a Marine on board a capital warship. I don't know if it was a carrier or what it was, but a big ship. And he was telling Dad that this big ship, whichever one it was headed into port, yeah, probably Honolulu at Oahu, Pearl Harbor, and a fire broke out. And sailors started fighting the fire, and he said the fire got worse, and the fire got worse, and the ship came to a stop. And he said they were fighting the fire, and all of a sudden, over the PA system, came the announcement, all hands prepare to abandon ship. And he said, sailors were going over the rail like frogs. And he could not swim. Now, how he ever passed basic training in the Marine Corps, I don't know. But he could not swim. And Dad said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I found a life jacket and put it on. He said, I got one leg over the railing and they canceled the order to abandon ship. He said, what were you going to do? He said, I was going to get off the ship. He said, you were going to drown. That's what was going to happen. So we need to understand, we need to get out. You know, those sailors, they thought the ship was going to sink. Boom, they were getting off the ship. Now, he probably shouldn't have got off the ship. But we need to make sure we're not in the culture, because the culture is going to burn. We need to not be of the culture. We need to come out from the culture. Yeah, we got to work and live and operate, but we need to be an example to them. We need to pray for them. We need to be that shoulder they need, whatever the case may be, but not part of Babylon. We need to have boldness. Don't be afraid to be counted for Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you beforehand, you're going to be made fun of. People are not going to like you. And there may be even more persecution later, but that's, you know, nowadays in this country, that's most of what it is. They make fun of you or call you all kind of number of names. But be bold. Because if it's a choice between God being displeased with me or men not liking me, men just going to have to not like me. Amen. Faithfulness. Stay faithful. Don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk. Belteshazzar, the king after Nebuchadnezzar, was having a big shindig in the throne room. And he sent his guards to the treasury, and he said, bring back the gold and silver goblets that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem. And they were having a big party, and they were drinking wine, toasting to the gods of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood with the vessels that came from the Lord's temple. And you know what happened? Scripture says the form of a man's hand appeared in the chambers and started writing on the wall. And Scripture says the king's countenance changed and his knees started knocking together. And they're like, we can't tell, we don't know what these words are. What's happening? And the queen mother came down and she said, there is a man in your kingdom. And she started recounting Daniel. And notice what she said about Daniel. Basically, what she said was, he's faithful. He's faithful. He said this and he's done this, and the high God has used Daniel. We need to be faithful. What a great tombstone epitaph it would be if under your name and under the date of death, it would say, he was faithful. Or she was faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to hang in there till it's over with, right? Hang in there till it's over with. Keep the goal in mind, Paul says. He says, I'm running the long race and I'm keeping the goal in mind. Anybody here ever run a marathon? Yeah, me either. I've done century bike rides, you know, where you pedal 100 miles. And the way I did, the way I made the 100 miles is when you get past mile marker 75, you just think about the end. Man, one more pedal stroke and, you know, and get there. Keep the goal in mind. Because God has a plan, and his plan will be executed. We need to make sure that we're not in the world when Babylon falls, right? We want to be out. Here is your compass point. Come out and be different, God warns. Come out of the culture, come out of the world, and be different. And the only way you're going to do that is if you know Jesus, if you walk with Jesus, and if you're touching others with the love of Jesus. That's a pretty easy way to deal with, at least it sounds easy enough, doesn't it, with dealing with Babylon. Friends, you're going to be dealing with Babylon in the morning when you get up. You're going to be dealing with Babylon when you go to bed tomorrow night and the next day and the next day and the next day. We are in Babylon. We need to make sure we know Jesus. We need to make sure that we're walking with Jesus and make sure we're serving Jesus as we touch others with his love and with his light. Father, thank you for your word, for your blessings, for your presence in our lives. Father, we again ask you to forgive us of our sins. And Lord, we know, we understand that we are moving around, operating in, living in Babylon. But you don't want us to be part of Babylon. And Lord, we don't want to be part of Babylon. We want to resist that. We want to resist the devil and submit to you. Because you tell us in your word that as we resist Satan and submit to you, that he will flee from us. Now, Father, while I don't know the individual hearts of each person here today, I know that you do. Each of us have different things that concern us that we have to look forward down the road to taking care of and dealing with. But, Father, help us to make sure before we leave this place today that we have dealt with the main thing, and that is, do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And if I do, if I can answer that yes, then Father, help us individually and corporately to walk in the light as you are in the light on a daily basis. Or whatever your will is for us individually today, you're knocking on the door. Help us to hear, and then help us to obey. Lord, this is your time. We are your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.